Today is what we call Palm Sunday, the day in history when the Lord Jesus Christ entered into the city of Jerusalem to the praise of the people of Israel. This was a significant day in the life of the Lord Jesus, in the nation of Israel, in the world, and in the fulfillment of Scripture. This day was in the plan of God for the redemption of his people Israel and for the choosing of the Lord Jesus, the only begotten Son of the living God, and for the salvation of mankind. We read the account of the triumphal entry in the Gospels, and we acknowledge that it happened in history. But how often do we pause a moment to reflect on and to think about what was going on in that moment of time? Well, I'd like to slow us down a little this morning to consider the import of the triumphal entry. So turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 21, and I would have you consider with me three things out of this passage of Scripture. Matthew 21. First of all, notice the preparation for the king in verses 1 through 8. The preparation for the king, verses 1 through 8. We understand the record that Matthew has given us of the events of this day in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The village of Bethphage, along the way from Bethany to Jerusalem. The donkeys that were there and needful for the Lord Jesus to ride the donkey, which was a transport of a king. The crowds of people shouting out Hosanna as Jesus came into Jerusalem, strawing palm branches on the road before him. Let's just take a moment and read through these verses. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. Think for a moment about all the things that needed to have come together on this day for it to be what God wanted it to be. That is the welcome of Israel's king to his city and the choosing of the Lamb for the nation and the world against the upcoming Passover feast. The Apostle Peter makes an interesting statement in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 20. Here's what he said. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Here Peter tells us that Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world, Greek word cosmos, to redeem the world by the shedding of his blood. That is, before the creation of the universe, the death of Christ on the cross was planned and determined and was, quote, good as done in the mind and purposes of the triune God. It's amazing when you think about it. Now, we believe, according to the Bible, that God, through Christ, created the universe and our planet and everything in it in six literal 24-hour days some 6,000 years ago. 4,000 years B.C. is the usual biblical date for creation, and now we're 2,000 years A.D. In the year of our Lord after the death of Christ. What this means is that God planned that the village of Bethphage would be in existence and in that location on the day Jesus was traveling from Bethany to Jerusalem. It means that God planned that those two donkeys would be tied up there in that village for Jesus to retrieve and to ride on. Look at verse 2 again. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the village, and straightway ye shall find an ass and a colt. Loose them and bring them to me." How did he know that there were two donkeys in Bethphage? The answer? Because he planned that those two donkeys would be there in Bethphage 4,000 years earlier. That's awesome, isn't it? And before he had created anything, God planned and purposed that the village of Bethphage would be there and those two donkeys as well. Another thing planned and foreshadowed was the day that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem. If you remember last week, we looked at the shadow slash body truth in the scriptures, and that the Passover in Exodus 12 was a shadow, and that Jesus Christ was the body that cast that shadow. And for the picture to be true, the shadow and the body must match exactly. In Exodus 12, the lamb that was to be killed and whose blood was to be applied to the doorposts and lintel of the house in which they would eat the lamb on the evening opening up the 14th day of Nisan, that lamb was to be chosen on the 10th day and kept up to the 14th day. Guess what day it was that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem to the acclaim of the people? That's right, the 10th day of Nisan, the day the lambs were being chosen for the Passover. Not only was Jesus coming into his city riding on a donkey, a king's ride, but he was also being chosen as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world by the sacrifice of himself. And I remind you of 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So think about it. Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world in plan and purpose. And when it came time for it to happen, everything was prepared for its fulfillment. We think having to plan for summer holiday 6 months before it is a struggle. Imagine all the things that had to be in place that day when Jesus rode from Bethany to Jerusalem, and that more than 4,000 years before. And while we are amazed when we stop to think about it, we should really not be surprised. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Answer? No, absolutely nothing. We read in Luke 1 verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And if we want to put it into a positive spin, Matthew 19:26 says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So nothing is impossible for him. All things are possible for our God. Nothing is too hard for him. But I am struck with the care and the detail and the organization that the Almighty had to take in order to make all of this happen. And then when you think about it, if God could do that, have everything prepared for his only begotten Son on the 10th day of Nisan, 4,000 years earlier, and bring it all to pass, how much more does God really care for you and me? All the stuff in your life God has either prepared or allowed because he cares for you. The bad stuff is purposed for you to be made aware of sin and your need of a Savior, and to develop and strengthen your faith and trust in him if you are a believer in Christ. The good stuff is God's common grace to let you know that he cares for you and wants you to trust him with your life. Everything has a purpose for your benefit and blessing and his glory. Everything in our lives is intended to draw us closer to our Creator and our Lord. Are you paying attention? Have you trusted him as your Savior yet? Are you walking with him by faith each moment of the day? Do you praise him for his care of you and his desire to save you from sin and cleanse your life and make it holy unto the Lord? This day in the life of the Lord Jesus is evidence that Jehovah God has a plan for his creation and you, and that he will indeed bring it to pass. And so we note in verses 1 through 8 of Matthew 21, the preparation for the king. Number 2, notice the praise of the people. The praise of the people in Matthew 21, verses 9 through 11. Matthew 21, 9 through 11, the praise of the people. Here's what the verses say. Verse 9, the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And the people that thronged around the Lord Jesus noticed that there were multitudes that went before and there were multitudes that followed. They spread their garments on the ground and they strawed palm branches on the road, all in recognition and honor of the king entering into his city. And they cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. When you read John's record of this triumphal entry in John 12, verses 12 and 13, John has the additional description of the he, blessed is he, and he talks about the he as being the king of Israel coming in the name of the Lord. This cry of Hosanna comes from one of the Psalms, specifically Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. So keep your finger here in Matthew 21 and turn back to Psalm 118. And here's verse 25 and 26. Actually, we'll back you up to verse 24 and we'll read down to the end of the psalm. Verse 24 says, This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And so once again in verse 25 and 26, we have, Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. This term Hosanna, the Greek word is Hosanna. The Greek letters were transliterated into English letters. Hosanna, whether English or Greek, is found 6 times in the New Testament. And this term comes from the Hebrew terms Yasha now, which is translated save now, which is exactly what we have in verse 25. Save now. That is Yasha na, which coming over through Greek and then into English is Hosanna. Hosanna is first of all an appeal for the salvation of God to come. And guess what? God's salvation has come. in the person of Jesus Christ, and he was coming into his city on this 10th day of Nisan, Palm Sunday. Hosanna is also became a word of praise and adoration, and so the people were announcing the coming of the king as well as the Savior, the Messiah, and honoring and worshiping him too. It seems almost too incredible that these multitudes were, in a few short days, calling for the crucifixion of Christ as a criminal. Here on this day, the triumphal entry, the word of God was being fulfilled. Hosanna, save now. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, and that he is the King of Israel. Again, according to John 12:13. And so we've noticed the preparation for the king and the praise of the people. Look with me now at the third point, the passion of the Son. The passion of the Son in verses 12 down through 17. Here's what Matthew writes. Verse 12, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And he left them, and went out of the city unto Bethany, and he lodged there." Here we see the passion of the Son. Matthew records Jesus entering into the temple of God, overturning the tables of the money changers, and driving out all the merchants from the house of God. And notice that he said, "It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." That is recorded for us in Isaiah 56, verse 7. The Jews had turned the temple precincts from a place of worship and prayer into a business of merchandise from which, it would seem, the religious leaders reaped great profit. Jesus was concerned about his house being used for what God had intended it, a house of prayer, communion with Jehovah God, worship, not only for Jews, but for all people. This showed the zeal of Jesus Christ, not only for the scriptures, he says it is written, but it shows his zeal for God and for God's house. Jesus did not want these things taking place in his house, buying, selling, merchandising. And the thought comes out of this that we must be always careful to maintain the purpose of our church. We are to be a lighthouse for the Word of God, for the Scriptures. We are to be purposed in declaring the truth of God from this place. This house of worship is to be a place indeed for worship and fellowship and praise and prayer. It is so important to be in the house of God on the Lord's day to worship him. Other times and days are important too, but the Lord's day especially so. And don't forget, we have prayer meetings on Wednesdays. Prayer in the house of the Lord is certainly an important time as well. Now, all these things happened 2,000 years ago from today, but were planned out in every detail 4,000 years before they actually came to pass. Are you assured that God cares for you and brings into your life those things that are intended to draw you closer to Him and to strengthen your faith and trust in Him? Will you praise Him and honor Him as Lord, as Savior, as King? Will you come to the house of the Lord with the same kind of passion and zeal as the Lord Jesus did, to make this place a place of worship and prayer? May God help us to humble ourselves under His hand and submit ourselves to His purposes and plans made for us. Our Savior has come. Triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, 10th day of Nisan. The Lamb is now chosen as the King has come into His royal city of Jerusalem. Over the next few days, Jesus will be interrogated and questioned and examined up until the 14th day, which we believe was a Thursday in the week that Jesus died. And He had to die in the opening evening, between the closing evening of the 13th day of Nisan, the opening evening of the 14th day of Nisan, because Exodus 12 tells us that the blood had to be applied before midnight of the 14th. That's when the death angel was going through the land. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." So the ending of the 13th day, the beginning of the 14th day is when the lambs were killed, the blood applied to doorposts and lintel. Jesus, being the body that cast a shadow, would also have to have been killed on the closing day of the 13th and the beginning evening of the 14th. And their changeover of day, as you probably are aware, is sundown each day, 6 o'clock in the evening. So at 6 o'clock, Christ would have, on the 13th day, would have died, and then the beginning of the 14th day would be the Passover time. Those are going to be interesting days, and you can read through some of them, especially in the Gospels, as they will help us understand the many questions and the testings that came for the Lord Jesus from all kinds of people, and yet in all of it, He did not sin ever, not even once. He was blameless, the Lamb of God. And so may God help us to humble ourselves under His hand and submit ourselves to His purposes and plans made for us. Our Savior has come. Have you trusted Him by faith to the saving of your soul yet today? If not, you can. Just come and talk with me after the service this morning. Love to be able to show you from the Scriptures how you can know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And Christians here this morning, let us praise Him. Let's thank God for this day, this Palm Sunday, the coming of our Savior and the preparations made for now Passover, His death on the cross, where He will take all of the wrath of God against our sins upon Himself on the cross. And we look forward to that day. Now this Wednesday, as is our custom here at Berean, we will be having a service on Wednesday evening. We call it Dark Wednesday, and trying to line ourselves up with the timing of Christ's death so many centuries ago. And so we invite you to be here on Wednesday evening for our Dark Wednesday commemoration of the death of Christ on the cross. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for opportunity to dig into your word this morning. We are so thankful to you that you have recorded these things in your word, that we might read them even today, 2,000 years later and after the fact, but with great praise and thanks to you for giving us these things. We thank you for this Palm Sunday. We thank you for the events that have been planned and now and prepared for and now fulfilled in the coming of Christ to the city of Jerusalem on this 10th day of Nisan. We rejoice so much in all of your planning in this world, in our lives, to bring us to Christ. And thank you that we have been able to put our faith and trust in Him to the saving of our souls. We pray that you will take your word and plant it deeply into our hearts and minds and help us to carefully think on those things that you have said to us. And as we move through this week, as we remember Christ's death on the cross on Wednesday, and then rejoice after 3 days and three nights of him being in the heart of the earth, rising from the dead, and we look forward to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, when we will acknowledge his resurrection from the dead. We thank you for putting all of this together, recording it for us all of it in the scriptures for us, that we might read it with benefit and blessing to our lives. Thank you for this morning and for your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.